This is our store. You're in the way of our store. We're gonna go in, and we're gonna come out in 20 minutes, and I want you guys gone. We are a peaceful organization, but at this time, this makes me very warlike. So help me God, I will jump from head to head, using your skulls as stepping stones into the river that is the street. And I'm gonna take tea and take a sip of it and spit it into each and every one of your mouths. Oh, it'll burn me, but it'll burn you twice. Burn me once with tea, shame on me. Burn you twice in your own mouth, shame on everybody involved.
TBTL.
Hello, Town Jubilation Committee? Yeah, I got something that's gonna make you a lot less jubilant.
I don't talk trash, I talk smack. They're totally different. Trash talk is all hypothetical, like, your mom is so fat she could eat the internet. But smack talk is happening, like, right now. Like, you're ugly and I know it for a fact, so I got the evidence right there.
So it was you. I was going to expose you.
I know. So I choose to expose myself.
This isn't what happened last week! Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us! This isn't fair!
Sweetie, have a good show. What you do is so important.
Okay, here we go, everybody. It is time for a Monday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live. My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host, coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched up Alabama Hill in Bellingham, Washington. The Bay City. Andrew Walsh, the longest-running co-brogan of the show, is still traveling back from Cleveland. You've just got me today. I am your solo host, guide, shaman, excessive coffee drinker for the program today. I think this might be cup number 5, which... Well, I guess we'll know at the end of this hour or so of Imaginary Radio if it was a good idea for me to just power use coffee all morning leading up to this. It's episode 2759 in a collector's series. If that number is to be trusted, I was in Chicago last week. That's why we had those special shows, special pet shows. Thanks to everybody who emailed in about their pets. Thanks to everybody who listened to those programs and enjoyed them. And I was hanging out in Chicago with, I guess I'm not supposed to say his name because it makes him feel anxious or something, but let's just call him Fam DeMort. Let's just say the marsupial gurgle, whose name we dare not speak, was in Chicago because it was the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me 20th anniversary. And he mentioned casually that I got the numbering of the shows, of the episodes, off again. So I went today to TBTL.net, the official website of this podcast, and I checked, and I think today is supposed to be 2759 in a collector series, so that's what we are going to go with. Let's see, anything else you need to know here at the top of the show? Well, the plan for today, since we don't have Andrew, is to just kind of do one of those, I don't know, I'm growing to like this kind of episode of the show. I used to avoid hosting the show solo like the plague. Because I guess I felt like I never had anything really of anything useful to say to you when I was just turning on the microphone, turning on the recorders, and just talking. And many of you felt the same way, that I had nothing useful to offer. And really nothing has changed in terms of me getting more useful stuff to offer to you. But for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's just being 42 years old. I have kind of settled into liking doing these shows on a maybe, I don't know, 2-3 times a year basis, where I just make a list of things that I want to talk about. I print out a bunch of emails, which I have done, and I figured I'll just extemporate and then answer email questions on the air, and then when I'm done with all of that, then the show will be over. And if that's not something that's interesting to you, I would not blame you one bit. You can always just skip this episode and join us tomorrow when we will have Mr. Andrew Walsh back, and we'll be doing everything kind of more in the usual fashion. Just a programming note, we are going to do the TBTL No Point conversion tomorrow after the show because We need to have Andrew Welsh here for that because the coach of his beloved football team, Hugh Jackson. Hugh, that's all we do, Jackson. And I guess what it turns out is when he said that's all we do, he meant all we do is lose. Hugh Jackson got fired today. So we definitely I don't want to go no point conversion on it solo today without the Cuyahoga Clam himself to talk about how he's feeling about all of this. I'm going to be honest with you too, and I don't know if Andrew will hear this or not. He probably won't. I'm sure one of you will tell him about it. So thanks a lot in advance. But you know, a lot has been made on the show about Andrew's approach to travel versus mine, and that he needs a buffer day, like. Before he goes on his trip, a buffer day when he gets back from his trip, sometimes a buffer day in the middle of his trip. So I don't actually know, like, he might be home already. I mean, again, we read that New York Times article about being a time realist versus being a time optimist. And not to be confused with being a time optimist prime, which is where you possess the Matrix and then you hand it over to Rodimus Prime at the end of the 1980s cartoon series. And then Luke later trades a G.I. Joe, I don't know what you'd call it, like water battle station for a Rodimus Prime, one of the worst trades in the history of 1980s toys, because nobody but except me remembers hot Rodimus Prime. Anyway, I don't know. It's possible that Andrew is already home. I was saying about being a time optimist versus being a time realist. The way Andrew's brain works, as far as I can tell from here, is that if he doesn't want to be flying home on a Monday and having to get home, hustle back to his house in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington, put everything down and start thinking about being creative and sparkling and fascinating for an hour of imaginary radio. And then, of course, he does a ton of work on the back end of these shows. He has to input all kinds of complicated data into the American public media system. He usually does some audio editing on the shows. He does some all kinds of mixing. He makes the show sound real nice. And so he just probably doesn't want to deal with that, which is a completely reasonable thing for him to not want to deal with. And by the way, thanks to our friend Christina Lopez, a.k.a. Kiki Lolo, who on, I think, I want to say Thursday, Friday, and definitely today's show is doing all of that. So if you are hearing my voice right now, it means, A, I recorded the program. So go me. And B, Christina Lopez was very kind and did a bunch of the stuff to get the show onto your iPhone or whatever you listen on, doing the stuff that Andrew would have normally done. Anyway, my long-winded point in that is just to say we're holding the no-point conversion until tomorrow. Andrew will be back tomorrow, and everything will return to its normal state of being. I want to say, speaking of unfortunately, what seems like it's become a default setting for our country. We're thinking a lot today about folks in Pittsburgh, thinking about our listeners today who happen to be Jewish, people who happen to maybe have known people that were at the synagogue in Squirrel Hill. Just an incredibly heartbreaking situation. And coming, we've just had what feels like last week, multiple events that really, how do I put this? And I don't think I'm adding anything to this conversation here on this Monday that hasn't already been said. I don't really feel like TBTL is the place for this stuff, and so I'll keep it kind of brief. But we've been seeing the evidence of what hateful speech can actually do in the real world, and also what sort of a poisonous, toxic environment has been created, I would argue, by one side of the political spectrum. I don't think this is evidence of everybody says things that are probably not advisable. Both sides, get worked up and say things that sort of rally their base in the wrong direction. I think this is a pretty clear indication that we live in a country where one of the ideologies has become profoundly broken, and we're seeing the evidence of that. We were seeing the evidence last week, and I guess what I would say about it is I think that this is a really sad time to be an American. Somebody wrote on Twitter that it's like all of America is in a train and it's going over a cliff, and half of the people are saying, and honestly, I'd say more than half, because those are the numbers. More than half the people are saying, this is terrible. We're going over a cliff. And a big percentage of the people are saying, yeah, but look at how much all the rest of you are getting owned. It's like, yeah, good job. I guess we got owned. And side note, the train is going over the cliff. I feel hopeful on this Monday, believe it or not. Maybe that's the privilege I have of not being somebody, white, straight, male, who is feeling under threat. I mean, that's privilege for me. And so I don't want to tell anybody else how to feel on this Monday. But I feel hopeful because, as I say often on the show, you know, the arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice. And I think the arc of history, the arc of American history is long, but it bends towards more and more progressive ideas. And I think if you look at young people, we were talking about millennials recently on the show and how millennials get a lot of shit from older people, people like me and Andrew, or people of our generation, because they see the world differently than we do and because they've had a different experience and they communicate differently. But really, I think millennials have a huge amount of compassion, and they have an understanding that, you know, that things are hard in the world for everybody for one reason or another. And they recognize that and they create space for that. And I think the creation of that space feels weird to people of my generation because it's like, get over yourselves. But you could also say, no, it's a way of just having empathy for the world. I think if you look at the younger people of this country, you look at what they hold dear in terms of their equality in this country, in terms of seeing and hearing other people, people who are people of color, people who are gay, lesbian, and trans, people who are marginalized in one way or another. I think when you look at the younger people in this country, I see a bunch of folks who actually have an extremely healthy, balanced outlook about what this country should look like. And so I think we're just waiting out, unfortunately, the death throes of the patriarchy and the death throes of sort of, you know, white America and the worst elements of white America trying desperately to hold on to power. And it's a really shitty process to go through. But I feel hopeful on this Monday that that we are still going in the right direction, even though right now maybe it doesn't feel like it. That was a much more serious and I guess you could say political tangent than I meant to go on here at the top of the show. Let's see. Things I have written down to talk about, things I had planned to talk about include Mega Millions. This is not, I have like five seconds of conversation on this. I was genuinely surprised last week when I realized I didn't win the Mega Millions. I bought some, I don't know, Mega Millions tickets. I don't know what you call them. I was in the grocery store here in Bellingham. The line was insane. Everybody was lined up to buy the tickets. It was $1 billion or something crazy. Somebody in South Carolina won. Good for you. Hope you're a TBTL listener. Consider becoming a donor of the day, mystery person in South Carolina. So I bought the tickets for the Mega Millions. I bought $10 worth of Mega Million Dollars tickets, which I think is like actually only five tickets because they're $2 a piece. And then I pinned the little receipt up on the bulletin board here in the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center. And then I promptly forgot about it. And then the next day when I was going somewhere, I can't remember where, I heard on the radio or saw on my phone that a Mega Millions ticket, a winner had been chosen. Somebody had picked the right numbers, or the computer had picked the right numbers for them. And they were in South Carolina. And the thought that went through my mind was, wow, I can't believe that wasn't me. So if you want just a view into, you could call it the sort of like the optimism that I tend to have about my chances of things working out, or you could say the delusional nature of how I look at the world. That's a snapshot of it. 1 in 300 million, I believe, was the chances of picking the right numbers. And I was genuinely, and I'm not saying this just to be funny, I was genuinely sort of surprised that it wasn't me. So that was something I had written down to talk about. So there you go. We've got that out of the way. How was your weekend, everybody? You can't tell me because this is just me recording myself and then sending it to you. But I can tell you about my weekend. I had big plans to go to a Halloween party in Seattle on Saturday night, actually at the home of one Andrew Walsh in Genevieve. Andrew was in the Cleave. We'll talk about this when he gets back tomorrow. To some degree, I think, to avoid being around for a Halloween party because he is not a fan of the holiday. He's not a fan of dressing up. He's not a fan of having attention paid to him in that sort of way. And he decided, I'm paraphrasing here, but he decided that as a grown-ass man, he is allowed to go to Cleveland and avoid a Halloween party if he wants to. Genevieve was really, as we say, leaning in to the whole Halloween thing and was making all kinds of cool stuff for the party. I was seeing that on Instagram. And anyway, I was planning on going to it, but I had some flight problems. I ended up not getting home from Chicago and by way of Portland until really early on Saturday morning. I was very tired and just decided that me and Carrie and the pod pets, maybe we should just hunker down here in Bellingham and watch some scary movies and order some pizza and just have like a nice cozy night at home. So that's what we did. Also, I realized that my preferred costume this year, my outfit, my thing I was going to be that I was so excited about, which is Mike Lindell, the My Pillow guy, that weird dude. I think he looks a little bit like Paul Bearer. Paul Bearer was like the manager for the wrestler The Undertaker. I think that's what Mike Lindell looks like a little bit. He's the guy that's always hugging a pillow late at night on TV, talking about his pillows. I thought that would be a really funny costume or funny person to dress up as, and so I was going to do it. But I started to have kind of I started to get a little bit less excited about the idea as I learned more and more about Mike Lindell, including the fact that he's a staunch supporter of the current president of this country. Maybe it's just one of those days where there's no way for things to not get political. So then I kind of got into that, I guess you could say, quandary. Like, is it bad to dress up like a character or like if it's a real life person who holds beliefs that you find kind of, not great, I guess? And so I started to, I'll tell you one thing about Mike Lindell. I was reading about him, deciding if it was okay for me to be him for Halloween or not. And one of the stories about him was that he, and you know what, like these stories about how somebody hit rock bottom and then came back and then built an empire of selling pillows on TV late at night. It's hard to know if it's believable or not, but his story goes that he had a drug problem. He was, I think, like a sort of fairly normal Minnesota-based, I don't know, business dude of some kind. Started getting into drugs, got into crack cocaine, and then got so into it and was using so much of it, and his life had fallen apart to such a degree that by his telling, his crack dealer told him, I can't sell you any more crack. And I'm just going to say that is when you know you have probably developed an issue with the substance. When the crack dealer, rarely the hero of any story, when the crack dealer says to you, Mike, I got to do you a favor and not sell you any more crack. And then he claims that that was his wake up call. And then I believe he prayed. He is a person of faith. If you notice, he's wearing a fairly large crucifix in the My Pillow ads. He prayed, and his claim is that his addiction, his dependency, was taken away from him by God. And believe that or don't, but certainly something worked for him because he managed to get clean. And now he is on television hawking pillows late at night and supporting the current president. So anyway, that is why. Well, there was a couple reasons, but those are both reasons why I ended up not really doing a big Halloween thing. Halloween, of course, the actual day coming up here on, what is it? Let's see here, Wednesday. Last year we had one trick-or-treater here at Burbank Springs. I guess we'll see if we exceed that number on Wednesday night. I will have some candy out. The house is not going to be done up the way that it would if Carrie were here. She's been working in Seattle lately. And so it's just going to be me and the pod pets and a giant-ass bowl of Snickers and Kit Kats and things like that, which is dangerous now because I don't know what's happened to me of late, but I've developed a real sweet tooth. And I worry that the candy that is not consumed by trick-or-treaters, or at least not taken away by trick-or-treaters, then will be consumed by me watching TV late at night, and I'll just wake up just in a, like in a pile of candy wrappers. I want to say one other thing. The other day on the show, I talked about those these chocolates that I thought were from Hawaii that had like macadamia nuts in them. They were not from Hawaii. They were, in fact, from my dear and loving brother, David, from the basement, a.k.a. The Last Burbank. He had gotten them in New Zealand. And remember, I was being very, I was being kind of dismissive about the candies. I said, like, I was so desperate to eat some kind of chocolate here in the house that all we had left were these, was like a sealed in plastic box of candies. And I was, I kind of said, like, they're the kind of chocolates that you just buy at the airport on your way onto your flight because you forgot to get someone a present. That's so not true, though, because DFTB also got me this really cool little clock that's made out of wood from New Zealand. He got us a bunch of cool stuff. And in addition to that, he got us these delicious candies. And here I was on the show shit-talking these chocolates. And I got a nice text from David saying, I think you might have been thinking of the chocolates I got you from New Zealand. And he goes, and yes, I totally did buy those at the last minute. And then I felt mortified. I was like, no, they were really good, which, by the way, they were. And so I guess the lesson here is if you start a podcast and if any of your family starts listening to it, be really careful about the things that you talk about derisively, because it might be, it might have been something they gave you and it was thoughtful and nice and sweet, and then you sound just like a big giant jerk. Okay, let's take a quick break here, and then when we return, what are we going to do? Oh, okay. We're going to talk about a couple of things I watched over the weekend that I thought were pretty great. One of them, quite surprisingly so. I want to thank some donors of the day. We're going to do a new segment I'm calling I'm Walking Here, which is thoughts that I've had while walking the dog today. Listen, you're under no obligation to listen to this show, I promise. I mean, this episode anyway, okay? I know that the idea that I am actually trying to forward promote a segment called I'm Walking Here, which are just things I was thinking about while walking. I understand how ridiculous that is, and I apologize in advance. We'll do that. Plus, I have a pile of emails here that I'm going to try to get through as well. So stay with us. It's TBTL. We will be back in just a moment.
Sunshine, blue skies, please go away. My girl has found another and gone away. With her went my future. My life is filled with gloom. So day after day, I stay locked up in my room. I know to you, it might sound strange, but I wish it would rain.
Little Temptations for you here on a Monday. Such a good song as we slide into the DMs of the most like seasonally depression making time of year here in the Pacific Northwest. The weather forecast starting on Saturday. So a couple days ago and going all the way until next week here in Bellingham, the Bay City, is just dark skies and solid rain. And the cherry on top of that is that on, I think it's this Sunday, we change the clocks so that it gets dark even earlier. So maybe this song is saying, I wish it would rain. I'm trying to maybe convince myself that the rain is a welcome thing. Also, this song is just a club banger.
Pressed against the window pane, my eyes search the skies, desperately for rain, cause rain drops behind my teardrop, and no one will ever know that I'm crying, crying when I go outside to the world outside my tears.
I have to say, though, that as much as I was bummed to see the weather forecast and then immediately put some little thing on Twitter about how shitty the weather was going to be, actually, things were kind of pretty nice yesterday on Sunday up here in Bellingham. It didn't rain at all during the daytime, and so I was able to get a bunch of yard work done and take Rudy out on a walk and just kind of like batten down the hatches here at Burbank Springs before it does get really, really crummy. And even today, I have to say, like, it's supposed to be raining all day, but so far it's been actually pretty nice. So maybe what I needed to do was neg the weather on Twitter, and then just to make me look foolish, the weather patterns of the Pacific Northwest decided to not do exactly what they were threatening to do. I mentioned that we stayed in on Saturday night. We watched some television, and our plan originally was to watch some scary movies, but I'm not. You know, I thought, let's do this. And again, I hope this is going to either be a nice element to this show, or it's just going to be something that makes people run and scream. But let's put a little music on underneath this. I feel like when it's just me talking, I don't know, I feel this need to talk really fast because I don't want there to be any quiet parts. But I don't think that's a pleasant patter to listen to. So I'm going to put a little music on. Here's Oscar Peterson Trio. I'm increasingly, at least just today on the show, turning this whole program into a version of Harry Shearer's old radio program called Les Show. I don't know if any of you guys listened to that. It was on, like, when I lived in L.A., it was on, I think, Sunday or Saturday mornings. Harry Shearer from Spinal Tap and The Simpsons and a bunch of other stuff. He would just sit in a studio, and he would play music like this underneath, and he would just read through the newspaper and talk about it. And I have to tell you, it was a terrible show. I wanted to like it so much more than I did. Because it seemed kind of erudite and like, it just seemed like such a good idea for a Saturday program or a Sunday morning program. And I was always like telling people about it and I was always listening to it. And I think I was always kind of lying to myself. So anyway, here's me doing that exact thing. So feel free to lie to yourself about how much you like this. On Saturday night, the plan was to watch some scary movies because it was sort of like the Halloween weekend. And what I realized is I don't really like scary movies other than The Shining. But we watch The Shining every year. And so we got into Netflix and we were poking around and trying to find something to watch. And we ended up watching this Lady Gaga documentary that... I think it's been on Netflix for a while, but I thought it was great. Now, not unlike the Metallica documentary, which Metallica, I think they had like they were the executive producers of, Lady Gaga was the executive producer of this documentary about her, which I think just means she had sort of final cut on it. I'm always a little suspicious of documentaries where the subject of the documentary gets to say what ends up in the documentary and what doesn't end up in the documentary. So I'm not saying this is like the most raw, honest view of her you'll ever see, but I'll tell you, you really do get an appreciation for how exhausting it is to be an international pop star. Now, a lot of you are going, no S, Sherlock. Of course, that would be exhausting. But somehow that hadn't occurred to me until you watch her trying to promote her album, Joanne, and, you know, sort of, I don't know, get it to the top of the charts. And then also she performs at the Super Bowl halftime. So the Super Bowl that was in Houston. And same thing, like, man, the amount of work that goes into something like that that halftime show and the amount of talent that she needs to have to do that is quite something. So I would recommend checking that out if you're looking for something to watch. The other thing that we watched that was completely and totally so much better than I expected it to be was Adam Sandler has a Netflix special called 100% Fresh. Carrie and I were listening to the Howard Stern show and Sandler was on there and Stern asked him why he named it 100% Fresh. And he said, well, because all of the movies and TV shows that I make get like the worst rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So he figured he would name it 100% Fresh just so at least that it would have that going for it. And I will tell you that, like, I haven't seen an Adam Sandler movie or TV show. In fact, I've heard sort of not great things about, like, some of these movies he's made. I think there's some racially problematic stuff in there. I think I like Happy Gilmore as much as anybody else, or, you know, these other kind of movies that he, Billy Madison, these movies he made a long time ago that had kind of funny, quotable lines in them. I certainly loved his comedy tape that he released back in the day. But as I look back on Adam Sandler's career, as I look back on most of the characters he'd done on SNL, Opera Man and Cajun Boy and the Hanukkah song or Red Hooded Sweatshirt, none of that stuff really stands up for me. And so I filed Adam Sandler into this weird category in my mind, which is like a guy who I used to love and used to think his comedy was funny, but I actually don't really think he's that funny anymore. But I find him to be a generally okay-seeming guy, if that makes sense. So Carrie and I had heard about this special, and we kind of said, why don't we watch it for a couple minutes just to see, like, what is Adam Sandler even doing anymore, like, for comedy? If he's doing a stand-up special. And so we watched it basically with the expectation that we would be watching it to talk about how shitty it was. And we'd probably just get bored with it after 5-10 minutes. That's how most of the people come to TBTL, by the way. They say, let's figure out what the lowest level of daily audio content is, and then let's just listen to this to make sure it's as bad as we think it's going to be. And then they listen. And most of the people, they get what they came for. Then there's this very weird little like sub slice of people in this country. They're called the tens of listeners. And you're one of them right now if you're listening to me. And they go, oh, TBTL, yeah, this is good. Well, we had a similar experience with this Adam Sandler special because, first of all, the way it's shot is really inventive. He did a bunch of performances. So, you know, he obviously rehearsed the show, and they shot that. He performed like at small venues in New York. Then he performed at some medium-sized venues and some huge venues. He performed at some outdoor places, at some beautiful kind of, you know, concert halls like the Paramount in Seattle or whatever type place. He did a whole bunch of different performances, but I think he did mostly the same thing in each one, sang the same songs, made the same jokes. And what they did was they cut it all together. So you're not just watching him on one stage in one venue performing. The whole thing is intercut between all of it's like seamlessly intercut between all of these different places. And it makes it entertaining because you don't get like the rhythm. You never get bored with what's going on because you're always getting to see. And sometimes within the joke, they'll cut. So the first, you know, the setup will be him setting the joke up, rehearsing that with his piano player. I think it's a guy named Dan Bulla. And then the punchline of the joke or the punchline of the song will be from a totally different place, like some giant, beautiful, storied concert hall somewhere. Anyway, so I thought that the cinematography and the editing was really, really clever. And I also realized something, which is I think that Adam Sandler and I, like, I'm aging along with his comedy. So, in other words, I was expecting him to be singing the Hanukkah song or to be singing Red Hooded Sweatshirt or something or doing Fatty McGee or something from his comedy tape. But what he's really writing about now is just being a dad in middle age. And it turns out that those are experiences that are relevant to my life. And so I thought it was actually pretty funny. Like, not all of it, but way funnier than I expected it to be. And I enjoyed it. So I don't know. If you're somebody who has kind of written off Adam Sandler, maybe a lot of you have not written off Adam Sandler. Maybe you guys love him and you're like, you've already watched this and you loved it. But if you're somebody like me who was kind of like thinking he had nothing to offer anymore, I thought that this comedy special was better than I expected it to be. So I would say you might want to check that out. Let's do this. Let's thank some donors of the day. Let's find an upbeat song from the Oscar Peterson Pandora station. How about The Nearness of You? This is going to be more romantic than I'm looking for. Let's see if we can get something. This is nice. On the Sunny Side of the Street. You know who always puts me on the sunny side of the street? The donors of the day. Oh, sorry, by the way, that this... Oof. I'm glad Andrew's not going to hear this. Sorry about the how blown out the audio is. I got to get a new board. I got to call Eric the Viking Stromstad in Minnesota and get a new audio board because I don't understand why this would be the case, but there's something about my audio board that, whether it's K-Dude and Little Hoagie's beautiful Seahawks rap song or apparently the Oscar Peterson trio doing On the Sunny Side of the Street, the audio is janky, so that's my bad. So I won't play this too loud because I think it's probably maddening to people. I want to thank the donors of the day. These are people who donated to TBTL during the TBTL-a-thon last year. And, or I should say, the last TBTL-a-thon that happened within this calendar year. But they made donations. A lot of them are making recurring donations. It's how the show happens 5 days a week. It would not be happening without people like David Barry of Seattle, Washington, without people like Cynthia Conlon of Traverse City, Michigan, also Mary Gerlach of Aurora, Colorado, and Michelle and Larry Little of Port Angeles, Washington. I love Port Angeles. Port Angeles is such a cool town. It's like, you know, I think is it Raymond Carver wrote a lot in Port Townsend, wrote a lot about Port Townsend. It's just it's a cool town because it's a working town still. I don't know if you guys know about it. It's out on the Olympic Peninsula, if you're not from the Northwest. And it's a logging town. It's a maritime town. It's gritty in certain places. There's a lot of natural beauty out there. I don't know. It just feels like a legit place to me. Big fan of Port Angeles, Washington. And then Wes Plate of Sunnyvale, California. Thanks, Wes. Wes, Michelle, Larry, Mary, Cynthia, and David. Thanks for being generous. Thank you for supporting this show. You know, I got an email today from our friend and the producer emeritus of this program, Jen Flash Andrews, who loves Jesus, but she drinks a little. And it was really lovely. She said, and I think it's okay with her if I share this. She said that she was watching apparently this is the episode of TBTL where I just recommend comedy documentaries and things related to comedy. She was watching Too Funny to Fail, which I guess is a documentary about the Dana Carvey show, and kind of why the show, even though it seemed like it should have worked on paper, it had Stephen Colbert on, it had Steve Carell, had Dana Carvey, why it was kind of a spectacular flop. And Flash was saying that she was watching it and she thought about TBTL, how, you know, we made this show and we totally got fired by the radio station. And we were going back and forth on email, just reminiscing about the early days of TBTL and just kind of like what a minor miracle this show existing is and what a minor miracle you, the listeners to this show, are. Many of you have been here since like the first episode of the show or the first week of the show. And today, if my count is right, it's 2,759 of these we've done. It's just amazing that it's still around and amazing that you all have been supporting it all these years and being a part of it. It's kind of a miracle. And it's amazing that Jen and I are still dear, dear friends and love each other deeply because, you know, sometimes you make a show like this or you make anything that's a creative endeavor and then, you know, it's a lot of pressure and it's a lot of personality conflicts and one person wants it to be one kind of thing and another person wants it to be something else. And as the years go by, people get hurt feelings or they feel like, you know, things didn't go the way they were hoping they would, et cetera, et cetera. It was really sweet today to get an email from Jen just talking about how fondly she remembers doing the show and what a fan she still is. And just kind of, you know, I feel the same way. I guess I'm just here on this Monday telling you I feel really lucky to get to do this for my job. You'd think with all the donations that have rolled in over the years, I would get an audio board that works, but... See, now this is like, see, this sounds fine. How could it be that certain songs don't work when being played through my little audio setup here? I don't understand it. But anyway, I just want to say thanks, David. Thanks, Cynthia. Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Michelle and Larry. And thanks, Wes, for making TBTL possible and allowing this to be something that me and Jen and Sean did for all those years and that now me and Andrew do for all these years. It's really an honor and really humbling to get to do this. Thanks, man. And thanks to everybody. All right. I was walking the dog earlier today and I was thinking some deep thoughts. Okay. They weren't that deep. They were things like, let me get my sheet out here. I've actually written this down. I don't want to mess this up. This is important stuff. Well, one thing that happened earlier today was I realized that I left my my Apple AirPods. Not the pods, but the case that they go in. I left it on the airplane flying back from Chicago the other day, which was a real bummer. Because without the charging case, they're kind of dead in the water. So I'm going to have to ultimately, I guess, buy a new charging case or something. But in the meantime, I decided maybe I should see about getting a replacement pair of those little AirPods, because I wear them all the time, including a lot of times when I'm in hotels and it's kind of loud, or if I'm just somewhere where my it's like sleep is not coming easily to me, I tend to just put on like a white noise app and then put the AirPods into my ears, and then that helps me sleep a lot. So they're like, I use them every single day. So I thought maybe I need to go get some new ones. So I called the Best Buy here in Bellingham, and I swear to God, it was at least a half hour of me doing battle with the automated system to talk to a human. I could have gotten in the car and driven to the Best Buy on the Guide Meridian, walked in and asked them, hey, do you guys sell AirPods? I could have done that in a quicker time than it took me to, like, do, what would you call it, judo with the automated system. First, it was, you know, like, basically, I got sucked into this nightmare right away, because it did not give you, when you call, did not give you any option for talking to a human. It asked you, what are the things you need help with? Do you need to find out if we have something in stock? Do you need to find out what our hours are? Do you need to find out this, that, and the other? And so they kind of trick you, because whatever your question is, like, for instance, I wanted to find out if they had something. I wanted to find out if they sold AirPods. And so if you punch the number for that, you don't get a person telling you, hey, yeah, we have those. You are then sucked into this nightmare vortex that is more automated, quote unquote, help, where the person says, hey, welcome to our automated system for finding out, for you to be able to find out if we have this. Please enter the 5-digit SKU, which you can find on the coupon. I'm like, the coupon? What are you talking about, robot? So then if you don't know the SKU, you hit this other thing, and then you can like punch in the name of the thing you're looking for, and then it will give you a SKU number, and then you can punch in the SKU number so that it will then tell you if they have the thing you're looking for. And eventually, I don't know what happened. I somehow got to a human being. They were actually very helpful, and they sold the thing, and that was fine. But I guess what I would just say to the corporations of America, none of whom are listening right now, of all the things that you should, I know, look, bottom lines are what they are, and it's hard work. It's hard work returning all those profits to the investors on Wall Street and not paying your employees enough and paying your CEOs 150 times what the employees make. I know it's hard work, corporate America, running, you know, companies, many of which are built on terrible principles. But if you're cutting, if you're trying to save money in various places, you're trying to cut costs, don't do it with not having humans answer the phones, please. Because, like, it's the number one way to make me not use your company or your product. Like, it is the best investment you can make as far as my relationship with your company. Because I didn't go and get the AirPods at Best Buy. I'm going to go to this local joint called City Mac. A small little place, kind of a regional chain, and they don't even have them in stock. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to get them when they have them in stock. You lost Best Buy. You played and you lost. You rolled the dice with that automated system, and you lost this guy's business. The other thing I was thinking a little bit about on my walk was my attempts at being, I guess you could say, a vegetarian, or just eating less meat. I want to say I'm in week 2 of this. Is that all it's been? Feels like a lifetime. I mean, I've been going around telling people meat is murder and confronting people in the restaurants. So it's been long enough that I've now really fully internalized my identity as a vegetarian American. I'm kidding. I haven't done that, nor would I. But I have been trying to eat less meat, and it's been going pretty well. I'm very excited on this kind of glum, cloudy, wet-ish Monday that I bought all the fixins for a vegetarian lasagna I'm going to make later, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to watch Monday Night Football. If there is a God who healed Mike Lindell of his crack addiction, he will cause the Buffalo Bills to beat the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football. Congratulations, Boston. I know we have Boss 10s. I know you guys are very excited about the World Series. Tip of the cap It's awesome. Red Sox won the World Series. But I feel like you've had enough now. You've had enough. You just won the World Series. I don't need to watch Tom Brady tonight on TV, not eating nightshades, and stomping a mud hole in the chest of the Buffalo Bills. How much does it hurt Buffalo fans that Rob Gronkowski is from Buffalo? But he plays and dominates for the New England Patriots. Anyway, I'm going to make that vegetarian lasagna, and I'm going to have some while I watch Monday Night Football. I'm very excited about this plan. One thing has happened, though, as I've started, as I've been swerving on meat, it hasn't been hard for me to order something on the menu that is vegetarian. What has been hard has been for me to stay on my quote-unquote grind and eat vegetarian. Because it turns out most of the stuff on menus that is like the high protein. Now, you can get a steak, and that's low carb. But if you're not getting a steak, what's left, the vegetarian options most of the time are either a salad, which is just by itself a salad, maybe with some tofu in there. It's not super satisfying for me if that's my whole like meal I'm having. And so you end up having to get things that are very full of carbs. In fact, when I was after Wait Wait's 20th anniversary show on Thursday night in Chicago, me and Carrie and a bunch of folks went out to have a little afterwards bite and drink. And I was sitting across the table from one Famdemort as I ordered some French fries. And he just looked at him and just said, drolly, you are really off your grind. Like, thanks a lot, dude. But yeah, that is true. It's really hard. I'm finding it very hard to eat vegetarian and eat not even low carb, but not just have most of what I order be like the plate of fries or the mac and cheese or the you name it. Most of the vegetarian options that I'm finding edible are also kind of, let's just say, not on my grind approved list at all. Which gets to the next thing that I was thinking about. I've been thinking about this for the last week or so, and it's actually really been improving my state of mind. And I was thinking about it today on my walk with the Rude Dog. I was listening the other day to that Armchair Expert, that Dax Shepard podcast that I really like, and he was interviewing Amy Schumer. Highly recommend you check out that episode, by the way. Maybe some of you are already listening to it. Maybe some of you switched this off a while ago, and you're over there listening to that. I don't blame you, because it was a really good show they did. Amy Schumer was talking a little bit about her sort of physical appearance and how she thinks about herself and her looks, I guess, and you could say her weight or what have you. And she was saying that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but she was saying basically that, like, the people that are fans of her comedy and her movies and her like, you know, just her sort of creative output, the people who are Amy Schumer fans, they are not looking to Amy Schumer to be Gisele Bündchen, to take it back to the Tom Brady verse. They're looking to her to be Amy Schumer. They like her point of view. They like who she is. They like her comedy. And what she said sort of casually, if I remember right, to Dax Shepard was, she goes, they don't need that from me. Meaning, they don't need her to be 6 foot tall and 103 pounds and doing Pilates six times a day or whatever. And I don't know Amy Schumer's life and her exercise schedule and all that. But she was just saying, like, that's not what people need from her. They need her to be her. And I don't know why that just, like, hit me like a bolt of lightning. But I realized that a lot of the stuff that I'm doing in my life and a lot of the being on my grind and, like, being very concerned about kind of what my physical appearance is, it's not something that, like, you, the tens of listeners, need from me. It's not something that the wider world is looking to me, Luke Burbank, for. Like, they're not like, oh, God, we really hope Luke Burbank's coming in at 181 pounds today. Like, nobody needs that from me. Weirdly enough, what people need or what people, like, apparently enjoy about my contribution to the world of podcasting and radio shows and TV shows or whatever is just this. It's me talking. It's me taking in the events of the world and then trying to make sense of them or the events of my life and then talking about them. That's what people, quote unquote, need from me. It's not me being a certain weight. It's not my hair being a certain fullness on my scalp. Like, that stuff that I am doing in my own head because of some misunderstanding about what it is people like about me, even to the point of, like, my wife. Like, I what Carrie does not need from me, this is getting a little personal, but whatever, She doesn't need me necessarily to look a certain way or to, I don't know, have almost like, you think it'd be weird, like within a marriage, particularly if you've been married for a while, like I have, you think you would just be like, at this point, it would have all been hanging out. And you'd just be like, this is who I am. And certainly that's happened a lot in my marriage. But there's also still part of my brain that's like, I need to look hot or something. And I think really what I'm realizing is what Carrie needs from me is to be a good husband, to be somebody who is like reliable and a soft landing and like, you know, somebody who sees her and hears her. Like the stuff that she needs from me is like, that's the stuff she needs from me. And what I exactly look like is not, that's not the top of the list of priorities. And so I don't know why, but as I've just been kind of like, you know, as I've been living my life the last couple of weeks, I've been asking myself, like, what is it that people actually need from me? And is all the stuff I'm doing actually like, is it sort of, is it fulfilling that? Or is it fulfilling some weird shit that I have going on inside my own head? And so as I like am ordering a plate of French fries or today making vegetarian lasagna. Like there would have been a time where I wouldn't have made vegetarian lasagna. I would have made, well, if I was going to do something vegetarian, I would have been looking for what is the lowest carb vegetarian lasagna I can make where you use, you know, like zoodles or like, I don't know, like fake pasta and all this. And then like, I would make that because I would think what I need to do is I need to eat vegetarian. I need to be super low carb so that when we do a TBTL event, people are like, oh yeah, Luke, he looks pretty fit. Like that would be very much how my brain would work. And it's how my brain has very much worked over the course of the history of this show and probably over the course of the history of my life for the last 20 years. And for whatever reason, I'm in this mode right now where I'm going like, that's not, nobody cares about that. Like nobody's showing up at Bauhaus Brew Labs in Minneapolis or rather St. Paul. Oof, do not get those twisted, I learned. Nobody's showing up at Bauhaus Brew Lab. Sorry, that was, I twisted that. It was in Minneapolis. That was where Bauhaus is. That is where Bauhaus is. We were in St. Paul and we were at American Public Media. Nobody's showing up at Bauhaus going like, God, I hope Luke is a certain weight. They're showing up going, God, I hope this is a fun night where I get to hear a couple of my imaginary friends, Luke and Andrew, talk about whatever it is they talk about. Like, that's what people need from me. So anyway, I don't know if that's nearly as profound to you all as it was to me or as it has been to me. And I'm not even saying like, my point in this is not that none of that. My point is not that we shouldn't ever care about things like our health or trying to be, you know, like I guess I'll say healthy. I don't want to say in shape because I feel like in shape indicates a certain body look or type. And I'm not trying to tell anybody how they should, their body look or type should be. But I'm saying like we should all be striving to be healthy just so we can live a long time and enjoy as much time on this planet as we can. My point is not that like nothing matters, but I guess my point is that I have been very much driven by this idea, this kind of messed up idea of what other people are really looking for in the Luke Burbank experience. And it turns out that's not what people are buying a ticket. And I mean that figuratively and literally. And so while I probably don't want to eat French fries three meals a day for the rest of my life, that would not be great for my ticker. I'm going to try to give myself a little bit of a break, not subject myself to so much self-doubt and so much self-criticism because of this idea of what other people need from me. Because I think I've been kind of rowing in the wrong direction on that for a long, long time. So that's what I have to say about that. Wow. We are almost an hour into this episode of the show, and almost nothing interesting has been said by me. Time flies when I'm rambling about nothing on a Monday. Let's do some emails and V-mails.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week I hope that it's from a female. Oh man, it's not from a female.
All right, I'm going to have to really burn through these because can you hear the amount of emails I have? There's a lot of them. And we're practically done with the show here. Listener Sandy pointed out that this guy that mailed all of the bombs to everybody that mercifully did not go off. You know, the guy that is the Democratic operative, you know. The guy who was clearly working on behalf of the Democrats to make it seem like all these Democrats were going to get bombed. You know that guy? I feel the need to tell you I'm being sarcastic with that. But anyway, this dude, I forget his name, which is good, actually. I don't feel like I want to know the guy's name. But his hair, this is what listener Sandy was talking about. She said something is going on with his head. There was like a picture, one of the pictures of him, his hair, I swear to God, Sandy is thinking the same thing. Did he tattoo his hair on? Like, talk a lot about painting your bald spot on this show, because I sometimes will wear that Topic hair powder. Is he tattooing on his hairline? She said on his perp walk, his hairline was halfway down the back of his head, but in one of his mug shots, he had hair in front. I noticed the same thing, Sandy. I don't know what is going on with that guy's hair. I mean, let's be honest, that's the least of his problems. But it was noted by me as well, Sandy. So maybe we'll find out more about that in the coming weeks and months. Probably not, because, again, it's a pretty small part of the story on him. But I just wanted to recognize, Sandy, that I had the same thought. There's something up with his hairdo in one of the mug shots, I think taken probably before he ever mailed out these pipe bombs. Thankfully, nobody was hurt with those bombs. Let's see. Listener Kelly talking about NET, that kind of therapeutic approach that I had. I've been using this online therapy thing. And the first therapist I got, who seemed pretty nice and all, had me doing this NET thing, which was kind of like acupressure on myself. Now, the problem was I was, with no training, being asked to do acupressure to heal myself. And so I was like, I said, I don't know if this is like, I'm not down on the practice of NET. I'm down on doing it on myself. I'd rather have somebody who knows what they're doing help me with it. Kelly said, I have not tried it, but I've heard really good things from people. And there are studies that show positive results. And then Kelly links to a couple of reviews and a couple of studies on whether this NET thing works or not. Kelly, I could see it working. I'm not anti NET. I just think that it's the kind of thing where it'd be like, to me, it's like doing self chiropractic care. I'm not down on going to the chiropractor. I'm down on somebody telling me via Skype how to crack my own back. So at some point when I get back to going to a therapist in real life, maybe if they have that NET thing, I might check it out. A lot of people wanted to talk about Decimate. Dave wanted to talk about it. Matt wanted to talk about it. And they all wanted to say the same thing. Decimate is originally from this is Matt's email, from the Roman legions. It was a form of punishment. Soldiers would draw lots, and the ones who drew the wrong ones would be killed. 1 out of 10 would be killed as an example to the others. That is the origin of Decimate, the Roman army. Jeez. Very glad, you guys, that I'm not a member of the Roman army. Or that I didn't have to be in the Roman army back in the day. But that sounds like a really, really shitty job. And I mean, that's like Andrew and I complain about our Thrive reports with American Public Media. That is way worse than getting some gentle nudging from your supervisor. That, to be decimated, to draw lots and then be killed as an example to the rest of the Roman soldiers about upping your game. That sounds harsh. Listener James in Pasadena, California, met somebody else with the name of Luke Burbank. He said, I wanted to share a story of a recent encounter I had with another Luke Burbank. It was at a meeting at work. I ran into this Luke. And as not to miss an amazing opportunity, I mentioned his name, which I'm understanding from James's email, this is another guy named Luke Burbank. Not just named Luke, but named Luke Burbank. I asked him if he'd ever heard of Public Radio's Luke Burbank. He said he had, and that he gets that from time to time from other people. Ooh, that's a good feeling, that there are enough people in the world who've heard of me that the other Luke Burbank, or one of the other Luke Burbanks, has occasionally had it said to them, have you heard of the Luke Burbank on Public Radio? Sadly, when I told him that our Luke, and he's talking about me now, has several shows. This Luke Burbank had not heard of any of them. Maybe if I work with him again, I can convince him to tune in. Now, that's a little weird to me. I don't want to sound like I'm being critical of my fellow Luke Burbanks of the world or my fellow Luke's Burbank of the world. But, like, don't you think, let me put it this way. If I worked at James's company or whatever company was, you know, cross-pollinating with listener James's company in Pasadena, California, a.k.a. Pass the Donuts. Oh, that's good Southern California humor for you. If I worked at that company, or let's just say I had a normal person job. I lived in America. My name was Luke Burbank. And a couple of people had come up to me and said, hey, did you know there's a dude named Luke Burbank that does a kind of variety of radio shows and whatnot? I would probably, like, go on the internet, look that guy up. I'd click on one of his shows. I'd probably be disappointed. I'd probably be like, ooh, boring. Like a guy said to me recently in Indiana. Did I talk about this on TBTL? I was doing a CBS TV shoot there in Indiana. And the guy who I actually already interviewed once is this dude who has made this thing called the Indie Idol. It's like basically a little park in the intersection of all these freeways in Indianapolis. And you sit there and you watch people sit in traffic. Anyway, I'd interviewed him months and months ago before the park was built. And then I went back there to interview him now that the park is done. And we were having lunch afterwards, and he said to me casually, yeah, I tried to listen to that podcast of yours. It was too boring. I appreciated his honesty. But anyway, if I was alternate universe Luke Burbank, by which I mean he lives in this universe, he just doesn't do this show. If I was other guy Luke Burbank, and I heard about a Luke Burbank who did radio shows, I'd click on one of them, wouldn't you? And then I'd probably be like the guy in Indiana. I'd say, no, this is not for me. But I'm a little surprised that the guy has not even clicked on the show. But again, I'm heartened to hear that the Luke Burbank brand, that is my brand, has spread far and wide enough that he has occasionally been said or has been asked if he knows about me. We got an email from, this is listener Linda of Power Out fame. I should probably wait and play this tomorrow with Andrew here, but I'm just going to play it anyway. This is listener Linda in Australia. Take a listen to this.
Hi, Luke and Andrew. Listener Linda here. Talk about being super served with all of this Australian content of late. Recently, you were discussing the hot air balloon with the bulbous memories. And during this discussion, some Australian towns and cities were brought up. I know you like to pronounce the names of places correctly, so in preparation for your trip to Australia for the TBTL-a-thon of 2019, if only wishing could make it so.
I think that's a solid move from Linda. She's already just talking about it like it's really a thing, like we're really going to go to Australia. I do this a lot, where if I'm trying to get our bosses at APM to do something like related to the show, or even just, I don't know, with Carrie, I will start talking about a thing like it's already just what we're doing, even though no one's actually technically agreed to it. I'll be like, oh yeah, well, when we do that, you know, when we rent that RV and drive to Austin, and then pretty soon I'm like, well, you know, the Austin plan, like when we're in the RV and when we're driving to Texas for the thing. And then eventually people just forget that they never agreed to it. And they just like, yeah, I guess that's what we're doing. It's a very effective tactic. And listener Linda is doing it right now. It's working on me.
Anyway, here are a few of the names that you pronounce correctly if we are talking about how they are spelt, but incorrectly if we are talking about how us Aussies like to butcher the English language.
This is another, I think, little tip for all of you giving me constructive criticism. Do you hear how positive listener Linda is being? What the upshot of this voicemail is that I mispronounced like every single thing that I was saying in regards to Australia. But listener Linda was being very delicate with me and saying, did I pronounce them correctly in terms of how they're spelled? See, so she's saying it's not so much that you were wrong, Luke. It's that the entire nation of Australia is wrong in how we're pronouncing it. So that's, if you guys are going to give me any kind of negative feedback, couch it in other feedback that says that I am actually doing it right. And I'll be very receptive to it.
Firstly, the story was set in our nation's capital, which you pronounced Canberra. And down here, we call it Canberra. Hmm. The Yarra Ranges were also mentioned.
So Canberra, all right. Duly noted.
Ranges were also mentioned. Sadly, we pronounce this as Yarra.
Yarra. All right. I think I might have said Yarra ranges. That was where the blimp with the boobs was flying over. Okay, keep going.
We have the Yarra River and the Yarra Ranges. I think your pronunciation is much better.
See, again, Linda, I love it. She agrees with me over an entire nation of people. That's all we ask on this show, is that you agree with us over all of the other people who know better, sometimes millions of them. That is the level of loyalty that we ask and frankly demand on this program if we're going to bring our fundraising week to your distant land.
And famously, Melbourne, as pronounced correctly by the rest of the world, we prefer to call it Melbourne.
Melbourne. So, I think probably I said Melbourne. Well, you know, this gets into a thing where, like, we had a listener, I think at the baseball game, who grew up in Somerville, Massachusetts. And people in Somerville, some of them anyway, say Somerville, right? Somerville? Is that how they say it? Anyway, they pronounce it differently than the rest of us do. And so if I look at that word, I could say Somerville, which is the right way to pronounce it, I guess, based on the spelling. Or I could say Somville, or I'm forgetting now whatever the local, the sort of regional thing is. Same thing with Melbourne. I could say Melbourne, or I could say, how did listener Linda, let's back it up here. How did listener Linda say it? Melbourne.
Old. We prefer to call it Melbourne.
Melbourne. So I guess my question is for everybody is, do we pronounce things the way that they are spelled, or do we mispronounce them in the way that they are commonly pronounced by the people who live there? Feels like we should say Melbourne, but then I feel like I'm trying to be too down or something. I'm trying to be too in the know in a way that doesn't feel authentic or genuine to me.
Anyway, love the show even more since we had a chance to visit and travel around a few months ago. I look forward to meeting you down under.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, a listener, Linda, in Australia, for clarifying on those various pronunciations. And then I see that's basically the end of the emails that I wanted to talk about today on the show. We have a few more, but they're probably best addressed when we have Andrew back tomorrow. Let's just read this last one from listener Caitlin, who says that a song. Remember on the pet shows that we did Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Andrew and I were just trying like crazy to find pet related songs that were not depressing. But like all of the songs we kept playing were just basically about like pets passing on. And the fellow pet lovers out there in our audience, you know that, you know, our pets do pass on, and that's a sad thing. And we're all going to experience that. We have experienced it. We don't need to wallow in the experience of others. Like, there's enough pet sadness when your pet passes away. You know, we don't need to like have this crazy Elvis song where it's like singing about old Shep or whatever. And so anyway, listener Caitlin says, hey, an amazing pet song is Harry Nilsson's song called Puppy Song. There is no death in it. Rather, it's a perfect song for Andrew, written from a place of someone imagining life with a puppy. We've talked about Andrew's dogological clock and how that's going. So what I'm going to do here is, of course, I did not practice. I didn't get this ready to go in advance because I'm not what you would call organized. But I'm going to try to find Puppy Song by Harry Nilsson. And that is the song that we are going to go out with. So I just want to say thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of the show. If you made it all the way to the end, congratulations to me for keeping the needle moving for over an hour. Condolences to you, because I know this was kind of a weird coffee-addled ramble. I appreciate all of your patience. And good news, we'll be back to normal programming tomorrow. So thanks for listening. Go Mariners. Go eat a bagel. Go Browns under your new head coach, whoever that may be. Go Seahawks. I'm excited to talk about that tomorrow. And please remember, no mountain too tall. And good luck to all.
If only I could have a puppy, I'd call myself so very lucky. Just to have some company, to share a cup of tea with me, I'd take my puppy everywhere. La la la.
well. La 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 la, I wouldn't care. But we would stay away from crowds with signs that said no friends allowed. Oh, we would be so happy to be.
Power out.